Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse number 13. Actually, I'm just going to go ahead and start in verse 11. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, "And He gave some," that's the Lord Jesus, "some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." What did He give them for? Well, it tells us in verse 12, He gave them to the church, the local church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that's the building up of the body of Christ. I'm going to continue reading here, but I want you to underline that, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. It says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man," that's a mature man or woman, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children," again, that's immature in our faith, "tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up." Underline that phrase in your Bible. May grow up. God wants us to continue growing up into Him, that's Jesus, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, verse 16 will be my focus. "From whom the whole body," that's the church, "fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body," that's the church, "unto the edifying of itself in love." I just want to preach a simple message to you this morning entitled, "We Are the Body." Young people, if you're whoever's taking notes, you can write that. We are the body. The body of Jesus. Jesus is our head and we are His body. You've heard the phrase that we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Because Jesus, like we sang earlier, is living His life out and through us. There where you're serving right now, where you're living, Jesus is seeking to live out through you. We are the church. And specifically, we are Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Because this is where God has led you to join yourself and to say, "Lord, I want You to flow through me as a channel through this local church." Because that is God's plan. Some would say, "Well, listen, don't you know, I don't really have to be a part of a local church because I'm a part of the universal church." Well, there's a problem with that. Not with the fact that you're part of the universal church in some way, because you are if you're a believer. We are the bride of Christ, if you will. There is an invisible aspect of the church that's made up of all believers in the Lord Jesus, okay? But how is the invisible church manifested? Through the local church. And all the letters that Paul wrote in the New Testament were not to invisible churches. They were to visible, local churches like Crooked Creek Baptist Church and other local assemblies in Jackson County. That's God's plan. The local church is the body of Christ and He is fulfilling His will in and through us. We are the body. I'm going to put you on the spot, young people. How many of you maybe think and tell Pastor how many organs? Those are those things that are in our body, like our heart and our lungs and things like that, our brain. How many organs do you think the human body has? Any young people want to guess? How many? Just take a guess. 13? Hey, that's a pretty good guess. Anybody else? Yes, sir. How many? 2? That's not bad. That's a pretty good guess. We got a few more than 2. How many more? Anybody else want to guess that, you young people? Yeah, buddy. 10? Hey, that's pretty good, too. One more. Thomas. 17. All right, you guys are all on your way to getting that right, but not quite. So the truth is there are 78. 78. And that's, listen, there's a lot more than that if you count each tooth. Did you know that your tooth is an organ? Yeah. Did you know that? What about your bones? Did you know your bone was an organ? Well, if you count all your bones and all your teeth, boy, it really adds up. There's all kinds of living parts in your body. All kinds of living parts. Hopefully there's nothing in your body that's dead. It's all living. It's all working together. And listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what's taking place in this local church. It's made up of living members, those that have been born again. We believe in regeneration. We believe in being saved to be a member of a local church. And what happens when you come in as a saved member, as a living member, you are joined into that local church for the purpose of God living His life out and through you in this community. You see, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the church is a living organism. It's living. It's alive, like your body is right now. The body of Christ is alive. At least it should be. Amen? I've been in some churches and I've wondered. But the local church is to be alive. It's not an organization. Although there should be organization, the church is not an organization. It's a living organism. And God is living His life in and through us. You kids named some. There are some of the organs that are the main organs. You know, I mentioned a few, such as, again, the heart, maybe the liver, at least, you know, you gotta have at least one kidney and so on. But even certain organs of the body require other parts for it to function well. I think of your lungs. Everybody take a deep breath. Exhale. In order to do that, for your lungs to properly breathe, you know what you had to have? You had to work with your mouth, your throat, your windpipe, and your sinuses. All those things had to be in place in order for you to breathe properly. And one of the things that Paul is teaching here, especially in verse 16, he does paint the church at times, and even in chapter 2, He gives the imagery, if you will, of a structure, of a building being placed together. But here we see that he's using a biological, if you will, imagery. Just the body, a living body, all fitted together for the purpose that God has for each of us. And the fact of the matter is, every part is connected in some way, just like God wants us to be connected. Every part has a purpose, just like you have a purpose at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. You have been designed. You have been designed for this local church if you're a member here. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says it right here in verse 16, that the whole body fitly joined together. You know what that word simply means? It means that you have been fitted for this ministry. And I'm thrilled about that, because I look across here and I look at people that are here, and I think about families that will join in the future life of this church. And it's just beautiful to see God sends people here, and you have a specific part and design that's going to help us be fitly joined together to fulfill the will of God. It's beautiful. It's God's plan. You see, it's amazing. Even I could get into how fascinating and phenomenal the body is and its design. It's made up of course, atoms. The atom is one of the smallest constituent units of matter, and it's made up of protons, neutrons, electrons, and then, of course, with that, it forms cells within the body, and those cells go with other neighboring cells, and there's all kinds of complex situations that go in them to form it together, but all those together form the organ, like the heart that's beating in your chest right now. basically on its own. It's all the living parts working together. And then not only that, but you have all those organs working together and you have the body, the entire human body, functioning harmoniously, and it allows for life to throw. And I think this is the gist of my message here this morning, because I don't want to be long with this, but folks, that's the plan of the local church, is for us to all be working so sweetly and harmoniously together that the life of Jesus can flow freely. And the work can be accomplished. Because if we don't, if you don't find a place at this church, local church, and say, Lord, I want to serve in some capacity. It might not even be on that paper, because it doesn't have to be on that paper. But in some way, in some tangible way, you are contributing to the functionality of Crooked Creek Baptist Church in fulfilling the gospel and edifying each other here in this church in love. That's God's plan. That's why membership is biblical. It's important. Because we as a body are connected and letting Jesus flow through us. 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ and members. Get this, I love this word, in particular. You're members in particular. Jesus Christ shapes each part of the members. And just like the Colossians says, by Him all things consist. Listen how good God is. God is so awesome and powerful that He can take all these weird people, like Brinson Jennings and many others, and puts them together and fits them perfectly with one another. With all our history and background and personalities, and it is simply beautiful. That's what He does. You see, when you got saved, Jesus Christ began to shape you and to fit you to be joined with a local church. It's beautiful. And if God moves you for some other reason from a local assembly, guess what? He's going to move you and He's preparing you for another one. Now, I hope you'll stick around. I like you here. But while we're here, we need to find that place where God can use us and let Him flow through us. You see, the Christian life is not about me. The Christian life is about Him. The Christian life is about us. And such, we live in a culture where it's just so individualistic. It's about me. No, it's not. It's never been about me. It's been about Him and it's been about us. It changes your perspective on local church doctrine. It's why we're here. We're here for Him and we're here for one another, so that we can be built up in love in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He mentions here, look at the text, it says you fitly joined together. That means compacted, that means pressed together, made together, by that which every joint supplieth. Now, that's the idea of a ligament supplying the connection between all the body parts. There are some different views on this. I come down on viewing this as the gifts of the church because of the context of Ephesians 4. If you go back, he talks about the gifts of the prophet, apostle, and then the evangelist, which we'll have an evangelist here that's been gifted by the Holy Spirit for the local church. He'll be here. He's coming. And he's going to preach. But we also have the pastors. And we have teachers that have been gifted. And here's the truth. Everybody in this church has been gifted. Go to Romans chapter 12. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. You will find very quickly that God has gifted every one of His children with a gift for the local church. That's why if you don't know your spiritual gift, you should seek to find that out. I have a form that I'd love to give you that at least helps. It's not a perfect, flawless approach, but I feel like it's helped. I just gave someone the other day and they filled it out. They said, Pastor, this is very accurate. This is where my heart is. And so you use that in the local church setting in some capacity. But these joints that are there, I believe, are gifts. But they're only useful, and this is something that I cannot emphasize enough. What this verse is teaching, from my understanding, when it says, according, notice verse 16 there, according to the effectual working, now notice this next phrase, in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What is that saying? The joint, the gifts are only effective as they're being used. So what happens in a local church setting is there's people that have gifts that have been given by the Holy Spirit and they're not being used. And the life of Christ is not able to flow through His church like He wants to. Because people are not stepping up and saying, hey, I'll help in that way. It don't have to be on a sheet. It could be just something you see. It's just it could be the gift of service. I had a brother, I'm not going to name his name because I don't want to draw any attention to him, but there was a place in the church, there's actually an object that needed some repairing. And it's just a little minor repair. It didn't take much, but we'd been using it for a couple of years that way, just kind of making do. But he just took it upon himself and said, I know a way to fix that. I said, praise the Lord. I said, do you mind doing that? He didn't know he was going to get voluntold on that. But he was more than willing, and he fixed it. And he just went to the hardware store, got the stuff, came back. Now I looked at it, and man, it looks great. We're going to continue using it. You say, that's a silly example. No, it's not. It's local church service. It's just finding a place where God can use you and your spiritual gifts. It might be the gift of service. It might be the gift of giving. It might be the gift of mercy. It might be the gift of administration. It might be the gift of exhortation. It might be several of those gifts that are Paul lists in the New Testament. But brethren, find that gift and let God use you. Plug in and be committed. And this is not just one that you're going to just use on Sunday and Wednesday. This is a gift that God wants you to use perhaps coming in on an off day. It's just when you're at the church, you're aware of needs. And man, God prompts your heart and says, boy, that's a need. And then you go up to that department head or a deacon or go up to me and you say, Pastor, I know there's a need here. Can I help in some way? That's what happens. God just moves in people's hearts. It might be something that's already taken care of. And hey, no harm. No harm done. Oh, okay. I just saw that and thought I'd just offer to help. We need that, church, for Christ to flow through us freely and so that we can be built up in love. Let me give you these and I'm going to close. Write these down if you can. What about this text and what can we draw a conclusion? How can we draw a conclusion on this text? Number one, each part has a place. Can you write that down? Can you say that with me? Each part has a place. One more time. Each part has a place. You have a place. For the good of the body, for the growth of the body. And I'll say this again, what God has given me is not for me, it's for those around me. It's for the benefit of others. And I certainly will be benefited because blessed is He. It is more blessed to give than to receive. This is anti-selfishness. This is biblical love. God has blessed me so that I can bless others. Praise God. Number two, each part has work to do or function to perform. We'll just go with the first one. Each part has work to do. Can you say that with me? Each part has work to do. That means we just get after it. Find that place. Be led of God. You may not be even really good at it, but you're willing to say, you know what? I want to help there, and I want God to be able to use me. Everybody has a part. And not only does everybody have a part, but everybody is a part. You're a part of the body. Maybe you're a finger or a thumb. Maybe you're an ear or an eyeball. Maybe you're a toe. I don't know. Just go. I didn't mean to rhyme, but it just went that way. All right? Hey, whatever you are a part. Let God use you. I don't criticize people for being in church. I'm thankful you're here. But I do believe that there is more to serving in a local church in some capacity rather than just coming and only being in church. It is a part of it. I believe that. And I don't criticize you But I do ask that you would find your part and do the work and be committed. In the book of Habakkuk, the prophet basically brought a message, and Haggai is what it was, not Habakkuk. Haggai, and he basically said what was happening is everybody else was taking such good care of their homes, and they were all updating everything in their homes, and it was nice and keeping it manicured and everything was great. But he said, what you guys have neglected is the temple. The temple's falling apart. You ignore it, and it just wasn't on their radar. It wasn't in their perspective. And I pray that every member of this church, when you step foot on this campus, I pray that you will realize this is the place that God has given you to worship and be. And if you see a need, you see something that's not quite right, I hope it'll just tug at your heart a little bit. Say, you know what? I need to help with that. I'd love to help with that. Thirdly and lastly, each part must contribute to the growth of the body. Each part, number three, each part must contribute or to give for the growth of the body. Now look there in our passage. It says here, notice it says, maketh increase of the body. Maketh increase. That means growing. Now I do believe he does not have numerical growth primarily in mind here. However, we cannot say that that's not important. I have found in my own life as a pastor, those of us that dwell on, well, numbers aren't everything, which is true. But a lot of times we use that as a cop-out because we don't see growth in the church. So there's a ditch on both sides of the roads. Neither are we about all about numbers and all about numbers, and that's all we care. Just fill in the pews. Who cares? That's wrong. Neither is it right for us to think that we shouldn't consider the fact that when we are growing spiritually, we should be having a greater heart for souls. We should be having a greater heart for our neighbors and giving the gospel. We should have a greater heart for inviting people into our church and going out in the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in because we got a burden, brother. Because we are being moved in love and we're just so thankful what God is doing at our church. And we're like, man, I want to invite so and so. Man, God's changing my life. He's helping us. We're doing a work. God's doing a work. And man, when the church gets filled and gets connected and everybody has a part, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be numerical growth. Maybe not as fast as the church across town, but that's not even what it's about. That's where carnality kicks in. You start comparing yourself to other ministries. No, friend. The focus is growing in love. We grow in love with God and love with each other. And you know what the Lord does? He sends people your way. Can I say it like this? When you got saved, you received the gift of salvation. Amen. This is not original to me, but I read this and it touched my heart because I used to be critical. I used to use that phrase like some people think they're, you know, God's gift to the world, you know, and I, and there is a place to say that when people think that they're everything. I get it. But, you know, I read this one commentary and it really caught me off guard. But he said, you know, you received a gift when you got saved. But he said, don't forget, you also became a gift to the local church when you got saved. God made you a gift to be used in the local church. I thought that was beautiful. I'm not going to make that statement anymore without qualifying. Because each of one has been made a gift. When you join this local church, you have become a gift to this local assembly. You are important. You are special in the eyes of God. And you are a part of the body. We are. We're all connected. And I want you to know, God doesn't do anything willy-nilly. He doesn't do anything haphazardly. He doesn't do anything just randomly. You have been designed by God to come to this church. God didn't just pluck me out of the Sahara Desert and I just accidentally stumbled into Crooked Creek Baptist Church. I don't deserve to be here, but I'm so thankful that God had a design to move the Jennings family here. And I could say the same about the Hoyt family, the Reynolds family, the Wilson family, the Brother Jimmy. I could just go on and on and on and name every family. You are here, praise God, by design. Whew. Praise the Lord. Perfectly fit, the verse says. Your family, your gift, who you are. Jesus has been forming you and preparing you for the local church that you're a part of. If you're visiting here with us today and you're a member of another church and you're just visiting, listen, you know this about you and your church. It's important. Let's don't treat local church membership and ministry lightly. God's got it for us. Let's use it for His glory. Do we have that quote by Wiersbe, Brother Sam? Let's throw it up. I love it. We'll close with this. Ministry happens when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels for the glory of God. Think about that. Channels. Loving channels. That's the members. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, empowering us to do His will. I hope everybody will let the Lord use you here at this church so that we can let Jesus flow through us completely to reach this community and this world for Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.